Hello and welcome to the Indie Film Review with me, Dan, and as always, Jared is right beside me. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Dan. I'm your son. I'm your son, Dan.
Jared, this is a very depressing movie. Let's not disrespect it by doing a bit.
Oh, this isn't a bit, though. Like, I'm your son for real. For reals.
We're the same age.
Okay. All right. Be like that then, Dad.
Can't fight him with logic. Just throw it back in their face. That is what we do on the Indie Film Review.
You know what's weird?
What?
I feel like every one of our bits now is just me trying to get money out of you, because that was the next thing I was going to say. It's like, isn't it coincidence? Like, every film we've been watching is like someone trying to scam someone out of money.
That is very interesting.
It's almost like a signal we're sending to our audience.
Yes, send us money.
Like and subscribe with money.
Please don't send us money yet. We are not deserving of it. Give it another couple years after the podcast grows a little bit more. Then we might decide that asking for money isn't such a bad idea. But for now, I'm not a charity case.
I'm definitely a charity case. You want to send me money at any time, please feel free to do so.
Venmo, motherfucker.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Dan, we watched the film.
We did. It was a documentary film called Where She Lies.
Where She Lies. What?
As opposed to the prequel, He Tells the Truth.
How He Tells the Truth. Well, is it... Oh, I never thought of the double entendre there.
Yeah.
Like where she lies and play lies.
Yeah. Oh.
Clever.
That's
girl.
What I'm here for, man. I'm pointing Clever out what they were trying to point out to you, but you couldn't pick up on it.
There's a lot of fun stuff like that in this film, honestly.
You were not picking up what they were putting down. Let me tell you that.
Nah. Sometimes you get tired. You don't want to pick things up.
That's true.
Just let it
be
there. I don't know.
Where She Lies came to us via the internet, the email that you can send us your films at, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Anyway, it was sent to us by Jamie Thierman, I think is how I pronounce her name. She is the person who composed this film. Every time I look at her name, it reminds me of theremin, which is a musical instrument.
I'm thinking of Jamie Lannister.
No, that's wrong.
I know it's wrong. It's very wrong.
Anyway, Jamie Thierman, she composed it. She's like, can you review the soundtrack? And we thought it best to review the whole film because it is an indie production. So we are going to review it for you today.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily review just soundtracks.
Yes.
Though that is kind of a cool idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
But also is even more niche than what we do. So I don't know if we want to get into that subcategory. But it's all encompassing. We're going to talk about the music anyways.
Too. Yes. And
so Dan, tell us about the movie.
So the film is about a woman named Peggy who is on in her years. She's an elderly woman now. And she
elderly woman?
An elderly woman. God damn it.
She's a welder-wee. Oh, what a welder-wee woman she was.
We'll take that again. Maybe we'll leave it in. I don't know. Anyway, this film is about a woman named Peggy. She's on in her years there. I don't have to say the word elderly.
She has this
very unique story that whenever she was young, she was sexually assaulted. She had a baby out of wedlock as a result. And her father basically said, you can come home, but the baby can't.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby apparently dies 2 days later. But the surrounding hubbub of the baby and where the baby went and how she wasn't able to see it right after her birth is all very confusing, all very vague, and it seems like some shady shit went on.
Conspiracy.
So the whole film is basically this, you know, 74-year-old woman trying to figure out what happened to her baby that long ago. And it is very sad. Even the ending is super sad. This is a pretty heavy movie. It reminded me a lot of Dear Zachary, like films like that. I don't know if you've seen Dear Zachary. But I like these types of documentaries. Just it's almost like true crime-ish. It's just something really fucked up happened to somebody, and they are trying to reflect their way through it.
Yeah, it's it starts off as like a pretty simple premise. You're like, okay, lady has a baby, and the baby dies. You're like, all right, that's really sad. But then it's like, well, did the baby die? Did they take it away? Is there some like black market conspiracy theory things? Like, there's a bunch of other crazy stuff, and it just it seems like the further you go along in the film, the more twists and turns, that stuff that really keeps you invested in watching.
See,
it.
That's what
keep happening.
This documentary has what all good documentaries have, and that is it answers questions, but as it answers questions, three more questions open up.
Yeah, yeah. Just like Lost. That's yes. How Lost works so well, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
except,
like, what's in the hatch?
Except for the last two seasons.
Nobody watched the last two seasons besides you. I gave up on when... So, like, when we were at the hatch, whatever season that was, like season two, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and you finally find out what's in there, I'm like, oh, I don't care about this show anymore. Because it was so stupid. I'm like, man, wow. This show just has no respect for its audience. I refuse to watch any more of it.
I should have
no, don't
left.
Don't get me wrong.
I should have
left. I've
been
tricked by shows.
I
Go
should
ahead.
Have left when the smoke monster came in.
Uh-huh.
Did you know? Did you get that far?
I never got to the explanation of the smoke monster.
Yeah. Not worth
it. Say right now, because nobody cares. No one's going to watch
it. I'm not even going to dignify it. Like, it's...
Okay.
It's dumb.
Where She Lies. Dan, why don't we start off how we always start off? With questions.
Questions.
With questions.
Jared.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Peggy's story?
Peggy's story is extremely compelling. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
But she is also an unreliable narrator. In
yeah.
that we can't really trust everything she is saying because... Not that she's a bad person. Or that she is a habitual liar or whatever. And they even go out of their way in this film to like talk to a psychologist. And the director, Zach Marin...
Mm-hmm.
Or Marion.
Yeah, Zach Marion. His sister
M-A-R-I-O-N.
Is a psychotherapist.
Yes. And I believe he is the one in the film investigating
yes.
all of this, right? Cool. So he interviews his sister about this because she's well-versed in stuff like this. And she starts talking about how we like make up stories to protect ourselves from loss and pain.
Mm.
And I really feel like that's a lot of what's going on in this.
Yes.
Her. But then you can't differentiate of when, like...
Exactly.
Because I genuinely believe a lot of the things that she says.
Me too. It's
so
way
so
too coincidental.
It. Yeah.
Way too coincidental.
And so do a lot of other people also believe her. Yeah, they're the coincidences, and this is prime conspiracy theory, like, overlay here. It's this is the zenith.
And it all happened in fucking Chattanooga, Tennessee, like... In the middle of the goddamn Bible Belt. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what I know about the Bible Belt and knowing, like, the themes of religion in this movie, it made me feel like this is totally plausible and very strange. And, like, the whole baby black market was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
What the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah. That whole craze. This took place in 1962. So I will say, I immensely enjoyed the story. I was riveted. I will admit right now, because I'm not afraid of saying things like this, I cried a lot during this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one time. Like, I kept crying. I'm like, oh, there's more tears in my eyes.
Yep,
I guess I'll
too.
Wipe them away.
Me too.
Especially
well, dude,
the ending.
Like the whole,
I'm just
like,
oh, man.
As soon as we get to the part where she conceives the baby, where she was, you know, trying to see somebody who was seeing her on the side, like this guy had a wife, and he's like, oh, I want to date you. And he ends up raping her. I'm like, what the f-? Like, I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, that took a turn. Because we went from, she met a man who was divorcing her wife. Also, he was good at handstands and walking on his hands. So
of
I was
course.
Like, oh, okay. I like this guy now. And then it cut straight to, and then he did a rape. And you're like, oh no. I don't like this guy.
It's ridiculous.
Mm, oh no. And that's just like, this movie goes from 0 to 100 really fast.
And it
that's
keeps
what I like
you
about it
at
too.
100, too, which like, yes. was actually very surprising. Which was my next question, was the pacing. Because I think the pacing in this movie is excellent.
Fantastic. It's so good. I love how everything flowed together. I kept thinking, like, okay, we have to be at the end of this film, but like, I don't want it to end, you know? So I'm like, where are we going to go from here? And it's like, oh my God, I can't, like that. When you can't guess what's going to happen next, you definitely have something. The director certainly knew that this story was extremely compelling and to document it. And it's interesting to just see him kind of fall into it and like kind of become, almost, well, not paternal. What's the word from son to mom, I guess? It's like a mother figure. I don't know if I'd say that.
I don't think there's a word for that. I know what you mean. Like, it would be a maternal from mom to son, but what is a son to a mom?
It's more of like he forms a strong friendship with her that I don't know if it was manufactured in this film. It felt real enough. Like, he seemed like he really cared about what was going on with these characters and wanting to help her. And I love how genuine she seemed about everything, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Even if the things she's saying were lies or not, she believed them. It was her truth. So she wasn't doing this for publicity or fame or trying to make any money or anything. She really just wanted to figure out what the heck happened to her daughter. And the amount of people that lie to her in this, like, I don't blame her for coming up with these stories or, like, trying to figure it out because there are definitely, like, there's definitely some crazy shit going
yeah.
on. There's so many people who try to take advantage of her, who are telling her stories, and it's just like, no wonder she got caught up in this web. And, boy, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, I guess.
Yeah.
We will soon, but Dan, okay, question for you.
Yes.
Why don't we talk about the music in this?
Perfect.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I love the music. The music reminded me, I'll talk about my personal insight first, and then I'll go into what I've read about the music so far.
Sure.
The music reminded me a lot of Mark Snow's compositions.
Okay.
If you don't know who Mark Snow is, he is the guy who composed the theme to The X-Files. And all of that
nice.
Show's music, it's very light and bouncy and mysterious in that way. But mm-hmm. she, I mean Jamie, the composer, she has a note on her album cover here that I have access to that I'm going to read very briefly. I'm sorry, Jamie, if you don't want me to, but it's really interesting.
Oh, weird. It just says, fuck the police. What a strong statement to have on your album.
Okay. Anyway. Note from the composer. She says, as an afterthought at the end of a meeting, Zach showed me a video of a street performer playing a hang. And a hang, I don't know if you know what a hang is, but it's it's a large kind of convex steel drum. Like it's an inside-out steel drum, basically. And you tap it with your hands. And it makes these really cool boing, 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 boing sounds. But it's like very it's a very light instrument. And he wanted that as an idea for the score. I ended up basing the entire soundscape for the score on that sonority. The hollow, cold sound of the hang, piano, and the flute worked perfectly for the mystery Peggy was harboring. And I completely agree. I feel like as the film went on, the atmosphere of the music went from kind of mysterious and open to more direct and almost somber in a way. But like it's weird that the music itself kind of has its own narrative arc if you are really like listening to it. Because I did my due diligence. I really tried to listen to the soundtrack and how it interacts with the actual images that we're seeing. And I think they work so well together. I honestly was not expecting this type of soundtrack, like a hang drum. Like I would never have thought to put a hang drum in this, but it works so well, I think.
I really like how the music just complements the story so much, but also doesn't get in the way of it. Like I wasn't ever like so caught up in the music that I wasn't paying attention to what the story was, but it was really, I don't know. It was like, it was guiding you through the film without making me feel like, oh, this is the music sting where I need to be sad. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, oh, here's that. You know, like it's not informing you on how you should feel, but it's helping. It's like your Sherpa through the film. And I think it does a really good job.
Absolutely. And just to clarify, I'm not comparing her to Mark Snow, because I'm sure she does not. Is it? Yeah, Mark Snow. I'm sure she does a lot more different sounding soundtracks. But like what it sounded to me, because I've just watched The X-Files my entire life. It's so fucking good. But it reminded me of like the background music of The X-Files. Not the main theme, but like the light, bouncy, mysterious stuff. And I feel really what was happening. Yeah, what's up?
Dan, I mean, we get it. You're saying that she ripped off her music from The X-Files, copied it verbatim, used an inside-out drum, and thought no one would notice, and we caught her. We got her, Dan. That's the real mystery of where she lies. You burnt. All right, I'm going to do one more question for you, and then we're going to get into spoilers, because we got to talk about how insane this movie is.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, did anything in this film hit home for you in terms of like, yeah, I know this person, or like, you know, like I'm seeing
yes, like every fucking person that was in her life, like just anybody who grew up inside of a strict household in the Bible Belt would just know exactly who they're talking. Like every single one of these people sounds like my relatives who lives in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Like just ridiculous. Just that Southern drawl and
let children drawl.
And the just impenetrable fortress of God is my shepherd and I'm gonna abort babies because of it.
The amount of shame that people were feeling.
Yes.
Think about how different the world was just in 1960. I mean,
it hasn't progressed that far. Let's be honest.
Like that was when the civil rights movement was going, I believe, in the 60s. But like, it's just so weird. Like that was not long ago for America. That was really, really close to what's going on now. And just to think that like, okay, we're going to spoil this movie right now. If you want to watch it, you can go on Vimeo. It's also on YouTube to rent for about like, it's like $3. I'd pay for it.
I think it's on Amazon too. Good.
And if you like documentaries like this, you are not going to be disappointed. This is definitely the best documentary we've seen this year. Again, the year is early, but it was fantastic.
We're just going to stop. Every single time I see a good movie, I'm just going to stop and not watch it. Like Falling, that took care of dramas. Yeah. I don't got to watch another drama for this.
That's right. We got it. What do we have left? What are the only type of
we need a war movie.
Film we haven't seen yet?
We need
horror and Pixar. That's it.
Yeah,
there's no other genre. Horror, Pixar, documentary.
Pixar is not
drama.
A genre.
What?
Pixar is a fucking visual effects company.
Oh, man. Okay. Whatever, Professor
movie.
Dan.
Let's spoil this movie. Okay, here we go. Jared?
Yes.
Let's talk about the mishaps at the hospital, because there were quite a few of them.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this whole thing with the hospital. And the
they
amount of
they could have made
doctors
an entire movie on just this 20 minutes.
So the main character, Peggy, she has this baby now. The dad doesn't want her to have the child because it brings shame upon him. Not just his family, but like more personally him. It's such a weird thing with what people were trying to do and still trying to do today to a lot of people where there are like rules of decorum that are just used to control women.
Mm-hmm.
So if a woman gets raped and has a kid out
she's
of wedlock, it's her fault and not the man's fault. And there are these ways of looking at things where this dude can go around and just impregnate as many women as he wants and not have to face any consequences. It's not his problem. It's their problem. And thankfully, I believe in the current age, this is not the case. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it still probably goes on.
It's
but
still
people are held
much
more accountable, and it's more frowned upon on the men just being fucking, like, jizz crazy monsters, you know what I mean? But I still think in places like, you know, rural, remote places, this stuff probably still goes on today, where it's just, they, like, subjugate women into, like, thinking, like, well, it was your fault for some reason. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, like I said, like it. Well, like I keep saying, it just the Bible Belt. Like it's all about like you said, that decorum and how, I guess, society is slowly creeping into Bible Belt territory, but you still have the political ideology, you still have the social ideology.
Yeah.
Everything is stigmatized in the Bible Belt.
Yes, that's like, the word, a stigma. Yeah, absolutely. Where it's, they have all these rules. I mean, there's other religions too where they like make women cover up, or they're forcing them to conceal their sexuality and their womanhood so that it can be controlled by a man.
But then,
so they get to dictate whenever that thing happens.
The dad didn't want it because she was a whore in his eyes, and he was afraid.
And it embarrassed him at work.
Yeah, he was afraid of what was going to happen at work. It's like, dude, why does anybody need to know that, for one? And then another thing is, the fucking, her OBGYN gave her adoption papers saying, here, this is probably what you want to do. It's like, what?
Yeah, and then they interviewed the son, and he was like, yeah, that's definitely a thing my dad would do. He would do that all the time.
That's,
and that was just an accepted thing back then. And in this time period where they lived, where if you, to even get in the hospital, they had to like sign a signature saying that she had an adult chaperone, like a man there, to be with her. She couldn't use the hospital.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It was a little bit more complex than that. Like that I remember what you're talking about. It wasn't that she needed an adult. She needed the baby daddy there.
Yeah, the spouse. Yeah.
Yeah, and because he wasn't there, they just forged his name, basically.
Yeah.
And then later on, the dad forges the adoption papers for the girl. He's like, oh, nobody's gonna know.
Oh, okay. So Dan, give a quick rundown of all the twists and turns, if you can, of like what happens.
God,
because like we said, like three or four doctors lie to her right off the bat about the status of her baby.
Well, she's kept under for 2 days, was it 2 days? The baby dies 2 days later. She knows she's kept.
Well, every
under
time she would complain, she said they gave her pills
sedatives,
to calm
yeah.
her down, and she'd get knocked out.
Yeah, which is completely fucked up. Anyway, she leaves. And she,
Well, she's told that the baby has died, she can't see the baby, and she can't attend the funeral.
Yeah. Dude, what?
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 What? What? What?
Like, at this point, at that point in the film, whenever I heard, I feel so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for her, but, like, being a woman in that decorum that you're talking about, and her being taken advantage of and just thrown around like a rag doll because they are unhappy with the result of something that wasn't even her fucking fault.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she claims that one of the doctors was like, oh no, your kid's fine. And then the doctor took her to the baby and showed her a baby, like, this is your baby, he's fine. And then they took her back, and then a day later they said that the baby died from like a heart defect or something. And she's like, that's, doesn't make sense. Another doctor said he was fine. This doctor says,
well, that, and there was like a discrepancy between the birth certificate and the death certificate. Like there was a typo on the death certificate. At one point in the film, I'm skipping ahead, but she thinks that she found where the baby was adopted. She thinks that the baby was adopted. And there was a couple who was also a doctor. Is the husband was a doctor who lived right next to her aunt.
Yeah.
And she lived with her aunt while she was pregnant because the dad couldn't have it in the house, basically.
Yeah, so she was completely disowned by her family.
Yeah.
And basically had to go live with her aunt. And she started hearing all these rumors about, no, your baby's still alive. She is living down the street with a family, Charles Biles, the Biles family.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on, evil name. Let's be real. If your name is Biles, you're probably stealing babies. I mean, I don't like
Simone
to.
Simone Biles is the Olympic gold medalist.
Definitely a baby thief. I'm sure if we just dug a little deeper on her. I don't know her at all. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure if we dug a little bit deeper, we would find.
Like, maybe ask her simple questions like, you steal baby? Hey, Miss Biles? You steal baby? I wish I did research on the black market baby stealing craze. And
isn't that crazy? One of my favorite parts of this movie was them taking television clips from the 1980s. Like, yes, there was a clip of Oprah. Yeah. There were some clips of, like, this. She had brought this to media attention in the 80s, so there was actual footage of her meeting up with, I forgot what the other girl's name is right now. Who is the girl who
she thinks... The reporter. I don't have her name written down.
No, either, not the reporter. Who is the drug addict who might be her daughter?
Oh, that is Catherine. Suzanne Smith.
Susie. Yeah, okay.
So she is the one who may or may not be her actual biological daughter, but she has a rap sheet, Dan.
Yes.
Would you like to hear all of the fun different things that this lady has done throughout her life?
Before you get to that, there was okay. So an introduction into this woman, Suzanne. She is adopted from the hospital that or she was just adopted by the Biles. Yep. And at one point in the 1980s, Peggy confronts them and is like, "Hey, I think you have my daughter, and I want to know if it is my daughter." And the dad, the doctor's like, "Fuck no! Like, you can talk to my attorney about this." And the mom is in the room. She's like, "Here, you can have some of the baby pictures," because she feels that fucking bad.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, the dad is like, talks to the lawyer. It's like, "Does she have enough to sue us?"
And he
goes, "No." He goes, "Okay, well, then I'm leaving."
Yeah.
I don't care
but
about any of
you see, that question, does she have enough to sue us, and the mom feeling that bad to where, here, you can have some, that alone makes me feel like there is some truth to this whole situation.
But also, this is all coming from Peggy. So a lot of the crazy, interesting things is that's coming from Peggy.
That's true.
So you have Peggy, who may or may not be a reliable narrator. We're not sure. She's at least a nice lady, I can tell you that. Then we have Catherine Suzanne Smith, who is clearly a manipulator and a liar and has a long, long rap sheet of crimes. I mean, they met when she was in prison, and she, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. It does seem like they actually have formed a bond over the years, but she is still super sketch.
Yeah.
And even, like, seeing them hang out together, it was, like, kind of adorable, and it made me smile, but...
Like you said, her rap sheet is like a mile long.
It's theft, burglary.
Burglary?
Burglary. I love burglaries.
The Hamburglar? She's the Hamburglar.
Forgery. Selling drugs. Vehicular homicide. I don't know how she got out of jail. I don't know. Escape from jail. She escaped jail. I'm impressed by this woman. She is impressive.
She's a slippery little snake.
Trespassing, identity theft, assault, bad checks. It goes on and on from 1984 to at least 2018.
And then not to mention whenever she's starting to associate herself with Peggy, she steals money from Peggy's checkbook.
Yeah. Yeah. Robs her blind. And she has a son. She has a son who, like, doesn't like Suzanne. And she's like, "This lady is a con artist. You don't bite the hand that feeds you." Okay. And, that's true. I mean, even if this relationship, I don't know, because it makes me feel so sad. Because she obviously took advantage of Peggy. But now it's like, does she really feel remorseful about it? And then you blame it all on the drugs. It's like, "Oh, I'd do anything for the drugs." I mean, that kind of stuff can definitely take over your life and make you do crazy things.
I'm not giving Zach Marion any disparaging remarks here. But, just believe me, I'm not coming. I'm not attacking you with this statement.
Come at me, bro.
It's just so fucking bizarre that you know, he's making this documentary, and in order to be objective, he can't intervene. But, like, there has to be something inside him. It's like, you know, want to advise Peggy. It's like, you want to watch out for Suzanne, but that would ruin the story.
But does she though? I don't think he does really.
But it's you're talking about her, like, it's she's very. Obviously kind of conning her here, you know what I mean? And
I
just
mean,
to sit idly by and watch that, that's kind of like, ugh, it must be gross, but...
I don't know, man. I mean, she wasn't actively breaking any laws when he was there.
That's true.
But when he went to go interview Suzanne, he was afraid to go up the drive to get to her, which I thought was like, I don't know. I guess I can kind of see that. She does have an insanely long rap sheet. But then they ask for money. She's like, "You should pay me $500 for this interview."
Yeah, she's like, "I got my rent paid, but I ain't got no groceries." I don't remember what
else. And you can clearly hear someone else in the background saying, like, "Well, you know, she can tell you the truth all day, but her lies are going to be way more entertaining. And you're like, oh my God, Jesus Christ.
And you know, that's kind of the status quo for the world, man.
Well, it's lies for this, just... the sensationalism, like, of this entire film is built upon
mm-hmm.
the lies more interesting than the truth. That's, I mean, that's how, like, most of our society is built on that, honestly. And because you have the media just churning out this story of, like, this black underground market of, mm-hmm. of babies getting stolen. You have no idea if it's real or not, but it's in everyone's minds. It's in Peggy's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have gotten all these ideas from the media, fed it back to them. You know, like, we don't know what came first, the chicken True. Or the Peggy.
The chicken or the Peggy.
I don't know. So you have that going on. You have everyone lying to her, her coming up with her own conclusions and then believing them to a fault, really. And I mean, let's talk about, I guess, the end of the film and kind of where it goes. Because, like, we've already kind of discussed that Suzanne isn't really her daughter.
Yeah.
They gave her a blood test. It came back not like they weren't related. But then even then, Peggy is like, well, I heard that someone else took the test for her. Like, no, Peggy. She took the test. And it's just like, it's crazy. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
With what?
Out of control. The ending of the film.
Oh, the ending of the film. There's closure. Peggy has a funeral for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because
a second time,
yeah, for a second time, she has they do a mitochondrial DNA test, and that proves that the bones that were exhumed from the grave are from the same maternal gene line.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, at the end of the movie, Peggy has to, you know, kind of come to terms with the fact that it is her daughter. Her daughter is dead, and she basically, like, and that was a hard part of the movie for me. Like, I did tear up at this moment, not because the daughter was dead, but because Peggy had spent her whole fucking life chasing a ghost.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Dealing with grief. This whole movie is about how people deal with grief. Man. And it's like, this movie gives you answers that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And, but usually it's just usually the simplest answer, the most reasonable answer is probably what's going
Occam's on. Occam's razor.
Ooh, living on razor's edge. But yeah, fuck. Goddamn. And even then, even when she finds this out, she's like, but you see these graves and these like little mini headstones.
I forgot.
These are
that.
Also little babies that died. What if they got the wrong baby? We gotta dig up these babies. And then the documentarian's like, listen. These are to demarcate where the foot of the grave is. They're not actual gravestones. She's like, oh yeah, you're right. And like every time she gets confronted with the truth, she goes, yeah, you're right. And it's just like, she just wants to have the story that makes her feel at ease, that she can keep living her life. But when she gets confronted with the truth, she's at least like, okay, yeah, you're right. I believe that. But, boy, yeah, that last scene was super tough. Her son and then her grandson were there for her. Mm-hmm. And then they bury this kid again, and they do the funeral service for free, which was nice. But, oh, my gosh. I think she dies like a year later, too.
Yeah,
like,
no, she died... in 2020, March of 2020.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Sad shit. Anyway, Jared, yeah, final thoughts. I really liked the puzzle motif in this film. Like, it starts with, like, a monologue about how Peggy used to cut the little knobs off of puzzle pieces so they would fit. And
well, that's this entire movie.
Exactly.
And I can't believe that he got her to tell the story and how well that fits into mm-hmm. the narrative and this movie.
Yeah.
It's genius. It must have been like, I would be so happy going through the footage and be like, this is perfect. And the whole like digital effects of the puzzle pieces at the beginning and the end. I love the cyclical nature of it. Mm-hmm. I love how all of that ties together. And it's like, that's what we're all doing with our lives. We're just trying to make puzzle pieces fit.
Yeah, this is a very tight-knit documentary.
To deal with everything.
It's one of the more tight-knit documentaries that I've seen. Like, I love it whenever a documentary just blows my mind. This one definitely did. It is just, it's a wonderful look at a very specific human condition. And we, I think, can get a lot of universal messages from it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you have to lie to yourself just to get through the day, you know?
A lot.
I mean, I shit my pants at least 3 times a day, and I completely ignore it. To the detriment of everyone around me.
Oh, shit. Do you have a final thought, Jared?
I mean, I love this movie. This movie's fantastic. It was super, super sad. And it's definitely something I would probably watch again.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because I want my wife to see it. I can call her my wife now because we got married.
Ooh. Join the club.
That's right.
My wife.
My wife likes movies. My wife likes to watch documentaries. So that's fun. I can say that now. The old ball and chain loves the things I like. Can you believe it? Oof, man. The worst.
You got married like a day or two ago. Just like, God.
My wife.
Just a ball and chain.
Yeah, I didn't used to smoke before, Dan. I was smoking two packs a day. Out of control. So we had some movie recommendations, but I feel like we're going long. So
yeah,
we don't have to do
it.
We can talk about them another week. But hey, thank you everybody for listening. I appreciate you. Dan, why don't you do some plugs?
You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. If you tweet us, if you Instagram us, we will respond. If you email us, we will respond. We are communicators.
That's right. We will respond in at least 2 to 3 weeks. No, I've been trying to be really good about it. Sometimes people's emails get put into spam. I don't know why. So I've been checking the spam a lot. But we've been good about that.
Spam a lot.
Spam a lot. Oh, nice, Dan. I like that. Okay. Hey, necropodicon.com is the site where we are hosted. That's where a lot of other cool podcasts are at. You can go check it out. It's necropodicon, like necronomicon.com. If you go there, you can click the link to the Discord and come say hello to us or goodbye or whatever weird shit you're into. And we talk about movies there. We talk about video games, anything, man. I mean, like, whatever you want to talk about. It doesn't have to be like specifically podcast related. Like, lately, people are just posting memes. It's like a whole sub-channel for just posting funny stuff, which I think is great. And there's another one I like to post in where you just kind of post cool food you made. You're like, oh, look at this.
Yes.
People go, oh, I like food. Yeah. Oh, yes. There's definitely a pet channel, too. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff there. Check it out. All right, guys, again, appreciate you. You know, I'm not accusing anyone of stealing babies. That was for comedic purposes only. But if they were to steal a baby, I would believe it. If someone told me they did it, I'd believe it. Dan, you have the final word.
What if baby stealing was an Olympic sport? Checkmate, Simone Biles. Get your second gold for the country.
Empires, demons, apples, mice, gnomes, barbarians, saxophones, dice. Fate of Ison is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast from New Zealand. The players are comedians, and the Dungeon Master is very, very patient. Check out fateofison.com to discover fan art, cast profiles, and a whole new world of adventure.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.